Beekeeping has a long history, and things that were done a long time ago are not always done now. But one that comes up sometimes at meetings, and one something that the old guys bring up, is tanging. What did he say? Tanging.
Yeah, what did he say?
Tanging.
I've heard of it. I know a little bit about the concept, but tell me what you're hearing at the meetings.
Well, it's an interesting concept. Hi, I'm Jim Tew.
And I'm Kim Flottam.
And we're here today with Honeybee Obscura, where on Thursday mornings we meet and talk about anything beekeeping, and today we've chosen the hot topic of tanging. What did he say?
You are listening to Honeybee Obscura, brought to you by Growing Planet Media, the folks behind Beekeeping Today podcast. Each week on Honeybee Obscura, hosts Kim Flottam and Jim Tew explore the complexities, the beauty, the fun, and the challenges of managing honeybees in today's world in an engaging and informative discussion meant for all beekeepers, long-timers, and those just starting their journey with bees. So sit back and enjoy the next several minutes as Kim and Jim explore all things honeybees.
Tanging. T-A-N-G-I-N-G. Basically, Kim, a swarm is in flight, and you're trying to desperately do whatever it takes to bring it down.
So what I a little bit I know about it is that that swarm has left my hive, and those are still my bees, and I want them to come down so I can capture them, but suddenly I got a neighbor's fence I got to go over, and then I got somebody else's property line I got to cross.
You got all kind of problems. You got all kind of problems.
I do. And what I got to do is I got to tell these people that I'm not trespassing and I'm not here to steal their cows or horses, but I'm chasing bees. And the way they know I'm chasing bees is because I'm beating on a pot.
Well, you're beating on something. Beating on your head might be just as well. When that swarm's leaving, you know, we've had some swarm discussions about the swarms that got away and how painful it is. But to my understanding, Kim, you and I are on the right track. A lot of what we have in our beekeeping lives here, we got from British beekeepers and from worldwide beekeepers. In those small villages close together all those years ago, people keeping bees in skeps, you know, and those skeppists would use brimstone, sulfur smoke, to kill him. I don't know, let's say he had 10 skeps, he would gas 7 of those skeps and then collect the honey and the wax. And then from those other 3, he wanted them to build up and swarm. And then he wanted to capture those swarms and put them back in those 7 skeps he had sacrificed to harvest the crop from. But imagine this, Kim. This swarm came out and flew away. So he was supposed to, in theory now, this is an urban legend, this is a story that's in the books, I don't know, I'm repeating. In theory, if he made a ruckus, he could climb fences, cross boundary lines, run through gardens, go through clotheslines, do whatever it took trying to keep his swarm in sight as it settled. Now, we've had some swarm biology sessions here. Got to be working on that bivouac flight, because if that swarm has decided to go to its new nest site, he's got to run, you know, maybe several miles in some cases. So clearly he's hoping that swarm is going to settle someplace close where he can bring his skep over and harvest that thing and go back. And so beating on metal, beating on a pan was supposed to have something to do with it. What can he just yell, Kim? Why couldn't he just run along just screaming and shouting? Why wouldn't that be better than going inside, getting a pan and a spoon, and coming back out? So I've got some questions about this story. But that was the whole deal, was that it was supposed to be a noise-making procedure to bring down the swarm. Now, let me be the first to tell you that there are plenty of beekeepers out there who will tell you that they have tanged swarms all their lives, and it works. And I don't have any science. I have no reason to tell them that it doesn't work. I just don't have any way to tell them that it does work. So, tanging swarms is something that we have done for hundreds of years, and some beekeepers still do it.
Well, I know some of those beekeepers, and what some of them have told me is that that banging, you know, doesn't have anything to do with property lines or anything. What that banging does is it kind of acts like thunder to a swarm.
Yeah. I just had that Florida beekeeper. Say, Florida beekeepers, you know who you are, but I don't want to point you out without getting permission to bring you into this fracas. But at a Zoom meeting with just Florida beekeeper, we discussed the fact that sometimes thunder and lightning are thought to have been perceived by bees, and that there could be some way that these airborne vibrations from the sounds and the noise that you're making is perceived by bees. You know, in that moment, I'm not, do something, Kim, do something. I mean, people have run and gotten water hose. People have tried to brooms and brushes. Do whatever it takes to try to get that queen to come out of the sky so you can drop down close and pick it up. And if not wanting to offend any of the swarm tangers out there, if you choose to swarm tang, it's probably as good as anything to help that swarm come down.
You know, I haven't chased a lot of swarms in my day. I've chased a few. I know people have chased a lot of them. The one thing I've always noticed almost always is that that swarm's going to leave that colony and it's going to go 2 feet or 20 feet or two, maybe 200 yards, but it's going to stop because that swarm group has not, its collective mind has not chosen its nest site yet.
Yeah.
It's still to be decided.
Yep.
So they're going to, I think they're going to come down anyway, whether you're beating on a pan or whistling Dixie. Am I right?
Well, you are. I'm trying to stay neutral here. But the thing I don't know is how many times do you tang and the bees fly away? How many times do you tang and the bees come down?
What
and
do you
how
use?
Long did you? And what do you use?
Yeah.
Are you using two old worn out plow points, or are you just destroying an aluminum pan? Does the timber of the metal that you're banging on make a difference? I don't know. And Kim, I don't know the answers to any of those things. But the story stays out there.
We want to thank our sponsor today, Liebengood Family Apiaries, a third-generation family operation with more than 50 years' experience operating in northern Ohio. This spring, they'll have several deliveries of Georgia-certified Italian and Russian hybrid packages arriving in March, April, and May. Plus, they have 5-frame deep nukes, so bring your own box, or they have one-ways available. Of course, there are lots of extra queens available that you can have marked or clipped. To find out more, or better yet, to order today, go to www.ohio-bees.com. Better hurry, they go really fast.
I had no idea I was going to mention this. Years ago, a guy came in working on the water system in my house, and he divined the water line. He walked around with the two bent rods in his hand, and he crossed the water line, and he said, see, they're crossing there. So these things are in our lives. You can divine water. You can tang swarms. And that's not to be confused, Kim, with drumming bees. Sometimes I hear people explain that you drum bees to bring them out of the sky, and that's a different old thing. When you drum bees, it was in the old days, apparently. Help me out here now, because I'm talking far beyond my experience in many cases, but I think you turned the old gum upside down, didn't you?
Well, the pictures I've seen, that's what they do. They got a chunk of tree that they brought home, and they want to get them out of the tree into, I'm looking at old woodcuts here, a skep.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, we did this too. Our forefathers and mothers who kept bees did this with those old box hives. Turn that upside down.
Yeah,
and
same
then
thing.
Put something on top of it and then wrap on the side and drum the bees up into the new equipment.
So that vibration then just makes life so uncomfortable in the box that they're in that they want to go to the box you're giving them.
Well, sure it does, because I don't know any other thing. I don't have any other reason other than whatever you just said there. So I don't know what they're doing, Kim. I don't know. But beekeepers who have drum bees said they do move up. So What do you drum with? Do you just rap on the hive, the box with a hive tool? Do you? I'm not going to do it with my hands. So you have to.
You use that same spoon that you were tanging that pot with.
You know, if you still got that pan and the spoon, don't be ugly now, Kim. Don't be ugly. But these things are in the old literature, and beekeepers have practiced them. And Kim and I are being kind of snippy about it, and I don't have the basis. I don't know that these things work or don't work. I don't see a mechanism in most cases. I don't know why drumming on the side of a bee colony would have any effect on the behavior of bees inside. But the fact that I don't know doesn't mean that it doesn't happen.
And I don't know why either, but I do know that it works at least sometimes. I've seen it work.
It does.
Yeah. And here's another piece of that puzzle. If I'd have turned that thing upside down and put a box on the top, would they have gone up there anyway?
Well, when you said it works sometimes, how many times does it not work? Does it work statistically often enough to be the reason that it's, I don't know. You choose this topic. I didn't choose this topic. I have tried the tang swarms. I can't say that it worked, but I can't say that spraying a moving swarm with water worked either. I can't say that chasing a swarm with a frame stuck on the end of a paint roller handle, that didn't work either. All you do is just hope they come down. But if you believe in tanging and you've tanged before and you liked it, have at it. But just to be clear, tanging and drumming are not the same thing. Drumming is pounding on the side of the colony. For me, some unknown length of time, some unknown rhythm for some unknown location on the box, and some unknown number of bees will move up.
Okay. I think the only thing we can know is about time to head out here today.
Yes, about time to head out. I love this old stuff, though. You know, we have a tremendous history. And just because it's old doesn't mean it doesn't work. So, not next week, but about next Thursday, let's talk about something else in beekeeping.
Okay, I'll see you then.
I'll be there then. Bye-bye.